All right, I want you to take God's word, turn to the book of Joshua chapter 18, the book of Joshua chapter number 18. We've been traveling through the book of 1 Timothy, also through the book of Joshua, and we've come to Joshua chapter 18, and we'll read the first four verses of Joshua chapter number 18. Joshua 18, verse number 1 through verse number 4. The Bible says, "And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. And there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, How long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? Give out from among you three men for each tribe, and I will send them, and they shall rise and go through the land and describe it according to the inheritance of them, and they shall come again to me." If you mark your Bibles, I want you to mark two words in verse number 2. It's the two words, seven tribes. Seven tribes. You say, what in the world is he going to preach on about that? That's why you're here, to hear about it, you know what I mean? Let's pray together. Our Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for the privilege of being able to open your word again. And I thank you for how you've dealt in my heart with this message here. And I pray that you help me to get across what you have gotten across to me. I pray that you forgive my sins, that you help me to be a clean vessel. And Lord, I pray that you'll help this message to be a turning point for many people. May thy will be done. Apply it to our hearts and lives in Jesus' name, amen. As we come to chapter 18, this glorious book, we're once again reminded of how practical God's word is. Now, throughout this book, we've noticed things to help us in our everyday lives, and tonight we'll be considering something that we can all learn from. As a matter of fact, this message applies to all of us, no matter who we are or how old we may be. Now, I want to look at this passage together, and notice verse number 2 brings out seven tribes. Now, these tribes here would include the tribe of Benjamin, Simeon, Zebulun, Issachar, Asher, Naphtali, and Dan. Now, within this text, with these seven tribes on display, we can all learn some invaluable lessons to help us in our progress through the Christian life. Now, what in the world can we learn from these seven tribes? There are three major things I want you to see in our text today. It's actually verses 1 through 10. But in those 10 verses, we see three things that we can learn from the seven tribes of Israel. Number one, the first thing we learn is there is an inheritance to be assumed. There's an inheritance to be assumed. We see this in verses 2 through 4. Look at it. And there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not received their inheritance. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, How long ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? Give out from among you three men for each tribe, and I will send them, and they shall rise and go through the land and describe it according to the inheritance of them, and they shall come again to me. Now, it's important to realize that all the tribes, including these seven tribes here, had an inheritance to obtain and an inheritance to claim. See, this inheritance in the promised land was a gift from Almighty God, because verse 3 says, The Lord God of your fathers hath already given this to you. Understand that it was God's will for them to have this land, but they must claim it. They must go after it. They must assume right to it. In other words, they must go out and take it. Now, even though there were things they had nothing to do with, like the parting of the Red Sea, they had nothing to do with that. But right here, we see that God had something special for them. But if they ever got it, they had to go get it. They couldn't sit back and wait on it to come to them. They had to get up and go forward and conquer the land. And by the way, that was part of the inheritance that God had given them. In other words, folks, if they were ever going to enjoy God's best, they had to go after the promises of God. Now, in the same way, stay with me here, because my point, my main point comes out in point two, but in the same way, there is an inheritance in the Christian's life. Now, I'm not talking about heaven here, folks. Now, we know that heaven, we have nothing to do with it. Now, it is a gift of Almighty God. But listen to me, just like the Israelites had some promised land that they must go claim, they must assume, they must go after it, in the same way God has put some things in the Christian's life for the Christian to go after, for the Christian to claim, for the Christian to assume. In other words, it is God's best for your life. He has it for you. He has it for your marriage. He has it for this church. But you can't sit back and hope it comes to you. You must go to it and you must claim it. You say, what are some of those things? Well, first of all, as I'm applying these messages as I get to them, the first thing that is for the Christian, part of their inheritance that they can go get it, is the peace of God. We see this in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Listen to this. Well, the Bible says, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now listen to me. Peace with God, you have nothing to do with. That's salvation. But the peace of God, you must go get it. Anybody listening to me out there? If you want God's peace in your life, you must earn it. You must go after it. And the Bible says the way you get it is you pray for it. In every situation in life, you are praying, you're seeking God, you're not wanting to worry about it, you lay your request out before God, and God says, part of my inheritance to you at that time, when you go after it, I'll give you peace. Secondly, the presence of God. Not only the peace of God, but the presence of God. Now, if you'll just flip back with me just a moment, same book of the Bible, Joshua chapter 7. I've already preached on this on secret sin. But I'm trying to show you some things about these seven tribes. They had an inheritance to assume. In other words, they had an inheritance to go after, to claim. This inheritance was theirs. God had already given it to them. But if they sat back and did nothing, they never got it. You understand that? They had to get up and work for it. And in the same way, in the Christian life, there are things at our hands, at our fingertips, that God has already promised us. And he said, if you will go after it, you can have these things. It's part of your inheritance. The peace of God, the presence of God. Look at Joshua chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. Now in context here, you realize that Achan is taken of the accursed thing. I preached the message on secret sin here. Before they ever went to the city of Jericho in chapter 6, God said, keep your hands off everything. It all belongs to me. But Achan said he saw something, then he coveted it and took it and hid in his tent. He had a secret sin in his life. But look at verses 11 and 12 of Joshua chapter 7. This is God speaking. And the Bible says, as God speaks, Israel sinned. They've also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Now notice this, neither will I be with you anymore except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Let me tell you something tonight, folks. I've got to have God's presence in my life. You do too. You need it in your life, your marriage. I mean, everything about it. We have got to have the presence of God in our life. But if you have sin in your heart, you'll never have it. It's part of the inheritance that doesn't come free. You must get up and go after it. Part of that inheritance for a Christian is the peace of God, the presence of God. In Judges chapter 16, don't turn to it for time's sake. You can flip back to our text if you want to in Joshua 18. But the third thing is the power of God. Let me ask you a question. Do you need God's power? Do you need it? Sure you do. We're looking at some things that does not come for free. Thank God salvation is free of charge. But there is an inheritance that we must go after if we ever enjoy it. That's the peace of God. You must earn it. That's the presence of God. You must earn it. That's the power of God. You must earn it. We see that in the life of Samson in Judges chapter 16, verse 20. I call it again, sleeping in sin. You know, there's some people in the Bible who slept in sin. Jonas slept in sin. Samson slept in sin. He met Delilah, and he fell asleep on her lap. And she got him to tell her all of his heart. And they came in and cut his hair off. Now, his power wasn't in his hair, but in what his hair represented, his dedication to Almighty God. And in Judges chapter 16, verse 20, the Bible says, "And she said, Delilah, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him." What an awful commentary on life. Here he was. He got up like all the other times and he said, "I'm just going to shake myself again." But he didn't realize God's power left him. I'm going to tell you something. We've got to have the power of God in our life. You have to have it. If you do not have it, you're a goner. You'll never make it. Your marriage, your life, this church will never make it without the power of Almighty God. And if we ever get it, it'll be because we earned it. It's because we got up and went after it. It'd be because our life is clean and we're not letting anything in, because we realize that part of the inheritance that God has promised to us is that if you will stay clean and you will pray, you can have my peace, you can have my presence, you can have my power, but you must go after it. Number one, the first thing we notice is that there's an inheritance to be assumed. Now, I could go on and on here, but in all of these and so many more, we see that the inheritance of God's child is wonderful. Honestly, just think about all the glorious things that's available for God's child. Think about it. He is at our disposal. No matter what you're going through, He is the answer and He's there for you. And all these things God's child has as a result of God's amazing grace. Now, may God help all of us to recognize our inheritance. I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about those things now that's right at our fingertips that we must go after. God help us to see it and get up and go after it. Our marriages need it. Our lives need it. This church needs it. Our children needs it. Now let's go after it. Amen? Let's go after it. Number one, there's an inheritance to be assumed. Number two, here's my message. Not only an inheritance to be assumed, but number two, an indifference to be avoided. An indifference to be avoided. We see this in verse number three of our text. Now notice in verse two, there's seven tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. Notice the question that Joshua asked in verse 3. Joshua said unto the children of Israel, "How long are ye slack to go to possess the land?" Well, I'll tell you one thing. If that's not a question that's applicable to American Christianity, I don't know what is. You say, what does the word slack mean? It means to be faint, idle, indifferent, slothful, negligent, or complacent. Are you guilty? Keep in mind the context during this time. These seven tribes have not taken what the Lord has given them. And an obvious question is why? And I submit to you, it is the same reason why many marriages do not have all that God has for them. It's the same reason many parents do not have all that God wants for their life. It's the same reason that many children do not have all that God wants. It's the same reason that many teenagers do not have all that God wants. It's the same reason that many individuals do not have all that God wants. It's the same reason that many churches do not have all that God wants. It is the sin of indifference. It's the sin of being slack, faint, negligent, complacent, slothful, idle. In other words, they know there's more. They know God has more for them, but they just don't care. I'm sick of that sin. And I believe God is too, folks. He says, I've got so much for you, so much for your marriage, so much for your church, so much for you as an individual, so much for you as a teenager, so much for your children, so much for your parents, so much for you, and you're sitting back and you don't even care. How long are you slack? Why are you idle? Why are you sitting back complacently? Go after it. Go after it. For some reason, these seven tribes, even though they knew God had more for them, were content with where they were and were being slack concerning God's will for their life. They had, up until this point, refused to lift a finger to claim God's promises in their life. It may have been they were weary of war, or maybe they were being satisfied with the place where they were standing. Maybe they didn't want to run into new hazards, or maybe they didn't want any more war, but rather they grew slack in their duties. Get this. They were content to let the Canaanites dwell in the land that God gave them. They didn't care. They didn't care. You know, a slack man, a slothful man, he's a man who goes through the motions. He flies on automatic pilot all the time. He's like a man with a bad head cold. He has mostly lost his sense of taste and smell. He knows something's wrong with him, but not wrong enough to do anything about it. Other people come and go, but through glazed eyes, he hardly notices them. He's letting things run their course. He's just getting through life. He's just making it and doing nothing for God. Let me ask you a question. Can you do more than you're doing for Jesus right now? Can you, yes or no? Sure. So can I. But I hear this question ringing and echoing in my heart. How long are you slack? How long are you slack? How long are you slack? You say, my marriage is falling apart. How long are you slack? How long are you going to be slack about it? Somebody says, my life is falling to pieces. I don't know where to go. Wait a minute. How long are you going to be slack about it? Somebody says, my bus route's falling all to pieces. My bus route's going all to pieces, whatever the case may be. My Sunday school class is falling apart. My question is this, how long are you going to be slack about it? How long are you going to be complacent and say it's not my fault? I mean, good night. God understands. I've got so much to do. Does he really understand? Or are we slacking? You say, Jody, you're stepping on my feet. Join the crowd. I'm stepping on my own feet tonight. God, help me to see that one day I've got a judgment day with God. And so many people sit back and they're complacent and they're slack and they're idle. They don't care. God, deliver us from this. God, help us not to be slack, but to take the bull by the horns and say, God, help me to knock more doors. God, help me to sacrifice that football game and go knock doors instead. My voice, I don't know if it's going to make it or not. God knows my heart. Folks, if this church, we are such a wonderful church, do you understand the potential that we have to change our world? We can change our world from Gray, Tennessee, but not with slack members in the pews. It's not going to happen. How long are you slack? How long are you going to be slack about it? Same way many of God's children, they know God has more. They know their marriage, there's more. They know their family, there's more. For their children, there's more. For their lives, there's more. But they're being slack. The spirit of slacking is apparent in all ages, all age groups. A generation who loves pleasure and loathes the work of God. I call them spiritual sluggards, making no progress in the Christian life. Instead of always abounding in the work of the Lord, the majority of God's children bearing his name are at ease in Zion.
Instead of going forth to meet the bridegroom with lamps trimmed and burning, the wise virgins, I'm talking about equally with the foolish ones, have slumbered and slept. Instead of running the way of God's commandments, too many sit still waiting for God to apply the promises to their hearts. Instead of engaging in aggressive evangelism and going after the lost people, most churches are having to pet and pamper their own members. Instead of contending earnestly in the world for the faith, churches are turning aside to wrangling and profitless contentions among themselves. The Lord's cause is languished, and Satan is well pleased. Someone has said people are funny. They want the front of the bus, the back of the church, and the middle of the road. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. You know what that tells me? That tells me that if I'm going to do anything for God, I better do it now. Because the grave could be awaiting me next. And if it is, and I'm dead, my work is over. I can't do it anymore. There'll be no more messages for me to preach. There'll be no more doors for me to knock on. There'll be no more prayers for me to pray. I'm talking about down here. There'll be none of that left. In a crowd this size, there's no doubt in my heart. And God knows my heart. I don't have anybody in mind. God knows my heart. But there's no doubt that there's slackers listening to me tonight. They're in every church. Every church. And what I'm asking you is, how long are you going to be slack? How long are you going to slack off? How long are you going to be complacent? Time is running out. And God's children are sitting back saying, who cares? Who cares? How it must break the heart of God. How it must break his heart. Man, I feel God in here tonight. Amen. Romans 12:11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Powerful verse. Colossians 3:23. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Revelation 3:16. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, God says. Thinking about preaching a message one of these days on what makes God sick. And it's that right there, it's being lukewarm. Take it either way, doesn't matter. God says, that makes me sick. Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. It is God's will for his children to claim all he has promised for us. Do you agree with that? Is it God's will for you to have everything he wants you to have? Is it? Sure it is. Then if we never get it, that's not his fault. It's because we slacked. That's the only way, folks. It'll be because we slack and we don't go after it. Therefore, I ask the same question Joshua asked many years ago. How long are you slack? How long will you be slack in your life? How long will you be slack in your marriage? How long will you be slack in your parenting? How long will you be slack in your childhood, in your family, in your soul winning, in your service? How long will you be slack? Go forward and claim all God has for you. It is work. It's work. But it's work that is worth it. It's worth it. Number one, we learn from the seven tribes, there is an inheritance to assume, to go after. Number two, there is an indifference to avoid. In other words, if you want it, it's there, but you cannot slack. You must be active. You must get up and go after it. Stop being complacent. The world is dying and going to hell. And so many of God's children sitting back watching the TV and eating their potato chips and sucking on Coca-Cola and dying, and they don't even care that the world's dying and going to hell. Is there anything wrong with eating potato chips? Amen. No, I hope not. Anything wrong with drinking a Coke? No, I hope not. Hallelujah. I'm in trouble if it is. Anything wrong with watching TV, depending on what you watch? Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you're more interested in your sofa than you are souls, there's a major problem somewhere. Amen. I'll amen my own preaching tonight. You know it's the truth, don't you? By the way, and I point at you, I've got three fingers pointing right back. Let me tell you why I preach so hard. Let me tell you why I do it. I'm having to calm down a little bit tonight, or I'm going to lose my voice. Let me tell you why I do it. Because this old bird right here needs it. That's why. Before I ever get to the pulpit, God's worked me over in my office. Amen. I'm glad He does too. I am sick and tired of slackness. And if I'm sick of it, what must it do to God? Think about it. Then number three, it's about over. By the way, this kind of preaching will help you, folks. It'll help you. It's not all sugar canes every now and then it will be. But if all you got's candy, it's not very healthy, is it? I'm trying to help you. Number three, there is an instruction to apply. There's an inheritance to assume. There's an indifference to avoid. There's an instruction to apply. You say, what's that mean? In verses 4 through 6, look at it. Give out from among you three men for each tribe. I will send them, and they shall rise and go through the land, describe it according to the inheritance of them. They shall come again to me. They shall divide it into seven parts. Judah shall abide in their coast on the south. House of Joseph shall abide in their coast on the north. Ye shall therefore describe the land into seven parts and bring the description hither to me, that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord our God. Now Joshua's instruction to these seven tribes was for them to give out three men for each tribe to go out and to survey the land. In other words, they were to take a look at God's promises and describe it. In other words, they were to go see what they were missing out on. They were to go out to obtain a better knowledge of what awaited them. Do you see it? One reason they were slack is because they hadn't surveyed the land. Now the instruction to apply here is this. In the same way, if you're listening to me right now and you know you've been slack toward God, I'm talking about for all that God has for you, the instruction is the same. Here it is. Get up and go on a survey trip. What do I mean? The land was a promise of God, right? Then why don't you take a spiritual journey through the promises of God in your life? It's right here. And what I mean by that is, in a nutshell, we apply this part here by saturating ourselves in the wonderful Word of God. And see for yourself what you're missing out on. It's all right here. Take a survey trip. See, many times we become slack concerning things because we do not realize how precious our inheritance really is. You see what I'm saying? If you don't know about it, it doesn't bother you that much. But if you can get a grasp of what God has for your marriage, you'll never be satisfied until you get it. Are you following me? If you do not see what God has for your life, If you can ever grasp what God wants to do with you, you'll never be satisfied with being slack and saying, I'll settle for this instead. Do you see what I'm saying? The devil is a mastermind at blinding people from all God has for them. Because he knows if they ever get a clear view of what God has, they'll never be content with staying here. Anybody understand what I'm saying? Am I making sense? That's why every day of your life, you need to be reading the Bible. That's called a spiritual survey. That's going through God's word and saying, good night, that's good. You mean that's available to me? Yes, God, help me to go forward for that. Help me not to slack in that. And go get it. Go get it. The devil wants you to sit back and suck your thumb and say, boy, you've got it good. And I'm telling you that if we ever slack from what God has for us, we'll never know what God would have done with us. You'll never know it. I challenge all of us to begin the day taking a spiritual survey trip through God's wonderful word to see what God has for us to get up and go after. For our marriages, our children, our lives, our family, and this church. I don't know about you, but I want everything God has for me. I want it all. I do, folks. I want it. Maybe you don't want it. I want it. I want everything God has for me. I've got a great wife. She is. Good night. You lift her up? Sure, I'll lift her up. She's a better Christian than I am. I believe that. Amen. I'm trying to lead her. Maybe she ought to lead me. I'm not sure. I love my wife. We have a great marriage. Honestly, we have a wonderful marriage. She's married to Superman, folks. I mean, honestly. We have a great marriage, but we haven't arrived. Let me tell you why we're still breathing. Do you realize your marriage can continuously get better and better and better and better and better and better and better? It can. I want that for my marriage, don't you? Do you want that for your marriage? I want it, but I can't be slack and get it. Let me tell you why so many marriages are having trouble. Laziness, slacking, complacency. Amen. I want all God has for my children. Judson sitting right here is listening well. Growing like a weed. One of these days I'll say, now son, you come down here. I want to talk to you a minute, you know. That little girl back there probably tearing the nursery all to pieces. Miss McGee told me that when she's back in the nursery and she hears my voice over the loudspeaker, she'll just point to the speaker. You know? It's good. By the way, there's a great truth there. She knows her daddy's voice. Amen. My sheep hear my voice, the Lord said. Spiritualize that a little bit, you know. I want all God has for these children. I really do. I'm asking God to call them into the ministry. I'm asking God for salvation. I'm asking God for their future mates, that God will keep them pure and bring them to them in His time. I'm asking God, if it be God's will, that He'll call that little boy right there to preach. Amen. But I don't want him to do it because his daddy wants him to do it. I want him to do it because God wants him to do it. I want all God has for my children. But I cannot sit back and relax in my easy chair and expect it. I got to fight the devil. I got to make sure the devil stays out. I got to make sure I'm right with God. And I got to fight, 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 fight. I can't slack. I can't slack. Because the devil's not going to slack. You get it? I want all God has for the ministry He's given me. I want all God has for this church. I really do.
I know this church is not for everybody, but I'd love for everybody to come visit it every now and then. I know this church is not, listen to me, I realize not all the Tri-Cities is gonna attend our church, but God's put something in my heart that this church can get the gospel into every house, into every hand in that house, and with the desire to get it into every heart in that house. We're going after people, folks. I don't like that. Then find a church where you fit in. Because we are going after people. By the way, somebody went after you. I know this is strong. God will have to help me change from evangelistic preaching to pastoral preaching. Help me out, okay? Just pray for me, will you? But all I'm saying to you folks is that God wants His children to stop slacking. He wants us to get up and go after it. Go after it. God knows my heart. And I want God's best for everyone who's listening to me tonight. I want all He has for your marriage. I want all He has for you men, you ladies, you teenagers, you children. I want what God wants for your life. I do, folks. God knows my heart. I'm so thrilled you're here. So thrilled you're here. But I am begging you on behalf of God, get up and stop being slack. In this text, we see an inheritance to assume, an indifference to avoid, and instruction to apply. Judges 18:9 says, "And they said, Arise, that we may go up against them. For we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good." Listen to this. "And are ye still? Be not slothful to go and to enter to possess the land." My question is this. Are you slack? Are you indifferent? Are you complacent? Are you careless? Or are you like Caleb? In Numbers 14:24, God stepped up and He said, "My servant Caleb followed Me fully." Followed Me fully. There are two kinds of Christians, and I close. Here it is. Please don't close your Bible. Please don't start closing shop here. There are two kinds of Christians. Are you ready for it? Those following God fully and those who are slacking. There's no in between. Which one are you? Let's all bow our heads together, please, and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank You for helping my voice to hold up. Thank You for showing me what You'd have me to preach tonight. No doubt in my mind that this is the will of God. And no doubt in my mind that You have showed up. Please, help people to make decisions right now that they will be slack no longer. Whether it be their marriage, their life, soul winning, service, whatever it may be, they will slack no longer. But they will follow You fully. Father, help us. Please. Your heads are bowed, eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. Let me ask you a question. Do you have an inheritance? What I'm asking is, are you a child of God? Do you know without a doubt that heaven is your home? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that if you died or the Lord Jesus Christ came back, do you know that you have Him as your Lord and Savior? Is there somebody here tonight you say, "Jody, if I die tonight or if Jesus came back, I do not know for sure that heaven is my home. I don't know that." And I want you to know something. If you respond to this, I will not call you out. I will not embarrass you. I just need to know how to proceed. If you're sitting there tonight and you say, I don't know, Jody, or maybe you're concerned about your soul, and you say, I realize that there's an inheritance, a great inheritance, and I want it, but I'm not sure I have it. If that's you, would you quickly and quietly there at your seat, would you slip your hand up in the air, please? God bless you. Thank you. You can put it right back down. Thank you. Somebody else say, Jody, I'm just not sure. I'm just not sure. Now, if you raise your hand to that, I'd like you to ask you to do me a favor. You do not have to do this, but I just want you to know that I see. I'd like you to look up here right at me right now. Now, nobody has any idea who I'm talking to, so I'm keeping my word with you, okay? But I want you to know something. It's no accident that you're here tonight. God loves you. And I realize that you may just be doubting. I don't know what's going on, but I know this. I know that it's not worth sitting there and wondering about. Now, I'm going to ask one of our soul winners. He gets up and does this a lot. I'm going to ask Brother Steve Mullins if he wouldn't mind to stand up. And you're looking. I want you to notice who he is when he stands. He's going to go to the back. And what I'd like you to do, sir, right now, if you mean business, please, no pressure with this, okay? But if you really mean business with this, this is Mr. Steve Mullins. He is trained how to take a Bible and show you how you can know the Lord. He's coming towards you right now. If you'd like to go with him, he can take you to the back. Whatever he prefers, Brother Steve, you can take him to a room in the back. You can bring him to the front, whatever he wants to do. We want to help him with this. Amen. Isn't that good? Now maybe you're here tonight and you say, Jody, I'm a Christian, but I'm slacking. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It takes an honest person to say that. But there's no help for somebody who won't be honest. By the way, you say, well, somebody, if I say this, they're going to think I'm slacking in my marriage. Are you listening to me? It doesn't matter what somebody else thinks. It only matters what God knows. You understand the difference? Have you say, Jody, I'm a Christian. God knows there's an area in my life. It may be your marriage. It may just be something in your life. It may be a teenager. It may be a lady, a man. It may be soul winning. It may be your service. It may be your Bible reading. I don't know what it is. But you say, Jody, there's an area in my life that God knows I'm slacking in it. I'm slacking in it. God knows it. It may be the ministry God's called you to. You say, I'm slacking in it. And you say, Jody, pray for me. I'm a slacking Christian. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. Yes, I'm a slacking Christian. Now, that is a lot of hands. If you raise your hand to that, I only do this when there's a lot of people, you understand. If you raise your hand to that, I want you to look at me just a moment. That's a lot of you. That's the only reason I'm having you look at me, you understand? You folks who are looking at me right now, if you'll determine in your heart, I'm going to stop slacking now. There is no telling what God will do with your life, your family, and this church. There's no telling. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? If you say, I am tired of slacking, I want to follow God fully. God help every one of you to do it. Let's all stand together, please. Father, take it, use it in a mighty way in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God has dealt with you, would you leave your place and come? As he sings, would you come, please?
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Let's sing on.
Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
They're playing through. Is there somebody at the altar tonight? Say, Jody, I'd like somebody to come pray with me. Anybody like that, would you raise your hand if you're at the altar? You'd like somebody to come pray with you, anybody at all? That's fine. If not, I just want to give you an opportunity to do that. If you're still standing, I'd like you to look this way. They're playing through, and we're still not through. But do you understand something with me tonight? If you slack, somebody goes to hell. You get it? Why sugarcoat it? You see what I'm saying? Stop sugarcoating it. You slack, somebody dies and goes to hell. I believe God's working tonight, don't you? Just let him have his way. Let's sing that third verse, Brother Gary.
The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back.
Sing that next verse.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
As they continue to play, I appreciate you letting me preach to you tonight. You didn't have to come, but you did. God bless you. I sense an urgency in my own heart. Things are lining up right according to Scripture. It means Jesus Christ is coming soon. And we shout glory there, right? Oh, how it ought to motivate us to fill our pockets with gospel tracts, to tell a lost and dying world of the Lord. I wish I could tell you what God's doing in my heart. Praise him for it. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that first verse one more time, Brother Garrett, and we'll close.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Turning back.
Reminds you of the meeting right after the service. It'll be very brief. I promise you that, okay? Be very brief. Those of you all who are going to help us follow up in these bus homes, I want to meet with you right here in the middle. And let me remind you folks who are leaving that Brother Steve has a gentleman who I believe was visiting in our service tonight. I'm not sure about that, but I believe he was visiting. He's out being dealt with salvation. I do not know where they're at, so please, if you wouldn't mind to kind of keep it down as you're going up and down the hallways, just in case they're in a room. I don't want the devil to get the victory, you understand? So try to keep it down. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. I salute you. I mean that. I'm going to ask Brother Roger Cox, sir, if you don't mind to dismiss us in prayer, and then I'm going to ask those to come to the center here.